Hare Krishna. See, at the end of the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Yoginam api sarvesham madgate nantaratmana shraddhavan bhajate yo mam same yukta tamo mataha. Amongst all the yogis, Lord Krishna says, the yogi who in the core of his heart always thinks of me, madgate nantaratmana. And then he uses the word shraddhavan, bhajate yoma. With great transcendental faith in me, he worships me. And he is the topmost yogi. So beginning from that, if you see the 15th chapter, which is Purushottam Yoga, yoma meva sammudho janati purushottamam sa sarva bhajati mam sarva bhavena bharata. So in between all these chapters, you will see Krishna talks one unique theme which keeps flowing in the same way. He talks how he is the essence of everything. Rasoham apsikantiya pravatmi shashi suryo and all that. Then he talks about in the attaining the supreme. He says that although yogis have to leave their body in Uttarayan and daylight and all that, for my devotee there is no worry. I personally take care of them, take them back to my abode, he says. Then in 9th chapter he tells the glories of devotional service, that even patram pushpam phalam tvayam, I am satisfied with the meager offering. Even if my devotee commits blunders, I can forgive my devotees very easily. And I am equal to all, but my devotees are very personal and very dear to me. And how very quickly I will reinstate my devotee in his position. And then as you go to 10th standard, he says how Krishna is the very best of everything. Not only is cause of everything, is the essence of everything, is the very best of everything. Therefore, his devotees surrender to him. And in the Chatushloki Bhagavad Gita, the Lord talks about the relationship of him and his devotees, how intimate it is. Then the 11th chapter, he clearly showed to Arjuna that all the Vishwarupa Darshan, 400 form, all these things emerge from him. So ultimately Krishna is the source of everyone and everything. Therefore, the devotee of the Lord surrenders to the two-handed beautiful form of Krishna without any reservations, understanding him to be the source of everyone and everything. And therefore, in the 12th chapter, he talks again about devotional service. At the end of which he says, Yetu dharma amritamidam yadoktam paryupasate shraddha dhana amat parama bhaktaste ativame priyaha. The devotee is very dear to me, who is bhaktaste, he's saying. He's a bhakta who possesses all these qualities. The 13th chapter also, mayi chananya yogena bhakti ravya vicharini. While talking about the 20 processes of acquiring knowledge, he says amongst them the most vital thing is the bhakti. He says. And he talks about what stops us from being such a bhakta. Naturally surrendering to the Lord are the three gunas leaving behind lust, anger and greed, which impel the living entity to get diverted from Krishna, which is either to ignore Krishna or to offend Krishna. Na bhajanti, avajananti. Both these bad qualities come because of the three gunas. And then he explains in the Purushottam Yoga that Krishna is the supreme maintainer of all living beings. And there is a beautiful spiritual world which is his own abode. Every jiva is his part and parcel, and they can go back there to live with him eternally, and they should not listen to the Maya's allurements. Rather, they should focus on him, understanding him to be supreme beyond the conditioned and liberated souls. In this way, you will find in the 16th chapter, he talks about divine and demoniac, and he says, the actual divine, he gives only 2-3 verses, but demoniac, whole chapter is elaborates on demoniac. The conclusion of the chapter is, those who align with Shastra and surrender to Krishna achieve perfection. Those who disregard the Shastra and act whimsically, they go to hell. So therefore, from all these chapters, three things become very clear for us. One is, Krishna being the cause, the essence, the best, and object worthy of surrender. Secondly, the devotional service, bhakti yoga, is most dear to the Lord amongst all the processes of karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, and bhakti yoga and everything. So one should adopt the path of bhakti yoga. And thirdly, all kinds of distractions and diversions and dilutions happen because of lack of understanding of the Shastra and subsequently lack of application of the Shastra. Therefore, one should possess Shastra Chakshu and see the world with clarity and very carefully apply it in one's life in such a way that one will be able to please the Supreme Lord through the process of Bhakti Yoga, which is epitomized by the chanting of the holy name. So therefore, every day we are chanting, even if one does not feel any relationship with the Lord, even if one feels like a desert or completely blackout, still one can be very confident that I am making an attempt to align with the Lord through the scriptures. Lord is saying, do this, I am doing. Lord is saying, don't do it, I am not doing. So, and the Lord's instructions are coming through the Guru Parampara, and I am making an effort to align with Him. So it is a very good beginning for one to stick to the scriptures, which is coming through the Guru Parampara, and chant the holy name with the best of the sincerity possible. And then the chanting will eventually, gradually cleanse the heart and take us ahead. So the more we study the scriptures and understand the Lord's heart, the more our Shraddha, our faith in Him, our surrender to Him can develop. Otherwise, if one does not understand these three principles about the Lord, about the devotional service, and about the alignment with the scriptures, then one may not be able to continue chanting for a long time. One will eventually dilute it and give it up. Without, therefore, there is a great emphasis Prabhupada put on his books, because the purpose of the books is to inspire us to chant with great absorption and devotion and sincerity. Harinam Prabhu ki.